Morning all, and welcome to a precious day on the Christian calendar. There have been many days in life, in the history of this life that we live and the life of the generation since God created man can be seen as a collection of days. Days that fold into weeks, weeks that string into months, months into years, years into centuries and so on. Many of those days that we exist in are ordinary days. We roll out of bed and we get moving. And there's not a lot to distinguish one day from the next. But there are significant days in human history. Days that have been littered with infamy. We see the horrors of world wars. We see the horrors of terrorist attacks in 9/11. And we see the injustice of powerful men lording it over their people. But there are memorable days in human history, as the 9th of November in 1989, when the Berlin Wall came crashing down and no longer was East and West separated. The separation had finished. And today we come to remember a time when intense evil was placed on the brow of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there was victory, and good triumphed over eternal evil for eternity. This is the day when the King of the Jews was crucified. It's an infamous day at the same time because it shows man's height of sinfulness. When they crucified their king, they rejected him. It's an infamous day because the creator of those very people was put to death as they bayed for his blood. However, it's a famous day because our sin had been nailed to a cross and we bear it no more. In Matthew 27, from verse 27, it says, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters and gathered the whole battalion before him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. And they put a reed in his right hand and kneeling before him, they mocked him saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him and stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him, they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, You will destroy the temple and rebuild in 3 days. Save yourself! If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts God. Let God deliver him now. If he desires for him, he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, This man is calling Elijah. And one of them ran at once and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But others said, Wait. Let us see whether Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, a curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the whole earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were open and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." You see, the place of Golgotha is a significant place in Jewish history. The place of the skull. Calvary, as the Latin says. It is a place that the people of Jerusalem would have known well. You see, the Romans' crucifixion, they would have had hundreds, maybe thousands of people crucified on those rocks. Criminals, those who had opposed the Roman Empire, their bodies would have stayed up there for days, maybe even longer, decaying. Because you see, that's where you place someone that opposes the Roman Empire. That is where you die. That is the shame and the humiliation of your suffering. That is the shame and humiliation of your death. And it is a warning to everyone else who opposes the Roman Empire. This is where our Lord paid the price. On a place, they placed his cross in a skull. And he endured the pain of the cross. Sad to say, the Bible doesn't quite do that justice, really, does it? It said, "And they crucified him." You know, it's a little phrase that says, "And they crucified him." A doctor puts it this way. The cross is placed on the ground and an exhausted man is quickly thrown backwards. With his shoulders against the wood, the shoulder feels for the depression in the front of his wrist. And he drives a heavy square wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly he moves to the other side and repeats the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, allowing some flex and some movement. Then the cross is lifted into the place. The left foot is pressed backwards against the right, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees flexed. The victim is now crucified. He slowly sags down with more weight on the nails in his wrist. Excruciating, fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms to explode into the brain. The nails in the wrist are putting pressure on the median nerves. As he pushes himself upwards to avoid the stretching torment, he places the full weight of the nails through his feet. Again, he feels the searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet. As the arms fatigue, cramps sweep through the muscles, knotting them into deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps come the inability to push upwards to breathe. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but not exhaled. He fights to raise himself to get even one small breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmodically, he can push himself up to exhale and bring life-giving oxygen. Hours of limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rendering cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain as the tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. Then another agony begins, a deep crushing pain deep in the chest as the pericardium slowly fills with serum and begins to press his heart. It is now almost over. The loss of tissue fluids has reached a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues. The tortured lungs make a frantic effort to gasp in small gulps of air. He can feel the chill of death creeping through his tissue. Finally, he can allow his body all that medical analysis. And the Bible says, and they crucified him. Why did he endure that? Why, O Lord, did you endure that? Because he loved you. Romans 5:8 said, but God shows his love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I would remind you that the man on the cross was our creator. He created all things. And here he is on a cross, saving us. He could have called a myriad of angels, but he said no. He endured that cross like it was foretold of ancient days in Isaiah 53. He would go to the cross, suffering, alone, not opening his mouth in submission. Why did he do this? Because he loves you. He also endured the pain of the crowds. We've come today and walked symbolically to nail our blood-stained sin, our black sin, on the cross of Calvary. It wasn't like that back then. People walked past shaking their heads. They mocked him. They beat him beforehand. They scourged him deep in his flesh with the Roman scourge. They gambled over his clothes. The religious leader, as we said, ridiculed him as they went past, mocking him, selling his clothes. The only compassion he received that day was from a tiny group of people. His mother, an aunt, a beloved disciple, a woman delivered from the life of sin. They were there mourning and seeing their loved one crucified. Be reminded again, this is your Creator. One word from his tormentors, he would have had a word for them if he so chose. He could have fought back. He could have said, enough's enough, be done with you. But in obedience, he went to the cross. Why did he do this? Because he loves you. What grace. He endured the pain of the condemnation that we've all wrought on him. If you've come today and thought, I've done nothing wrong against Jesus, historically you don't understand the message of the cross. You don't understand what Jesus has done for you, what his mission was. If you've come today not realizing what you've done, I want you to be aware before you leave today that we're all in this together. We've caused this grief. Humanity's caused this grief. Jesus became our sin. The punishment of God was, placed upon his head. And there's a theological premise we must understand in faith that here is God on the cross and the Father placed the sin of the world on his brow. The blackness of all humanity, the stain of all humanity. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he rendered us sinful human beings for all eternity, for all of humankind. And the only way that could be overcome is when Jesus came and died on that cross of Calvary. He was punished in our place. Adam brought death. Jesus brought salvation and life to all that believe on his name and call him Lord. Why did he endure the full brunt of the wrath of God on the cross, where all sin of humanity was poured out on his brow? Is because he loves you. God the Father couldn't look at all of that sin poured out to him, because God loved his humanity. He loved his created beings enough to put his Son. When Christ breathed his last on the cross, the redemption had been secured for all that put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No other words have ever been spoken that have more impact than when Jesus said, as recorded in John 19:30, that it is finished. The punishment is over. The way forward for us now to enter into relationship with God has been wrought. God had been satisfied forever. We have been liberated, let free from the traps, no longer victimized by our sin, only if we receive him in faith. Have you received him in faith? There's a beautiful little story written by a guy called Robert Coleman, a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. The doctor explained that she had the same disease the boy had recovered from 2 years earlier. Her only chance was to have those antibodies from that recovery in her own system, otherwise she would die. The doctor asked little Johnny, "Would you give your blood to Mary?" Johnny hesitated. His lower lip started to tremble. "Sure, for my sister." Soon the two children were wheeled into a hospital room. Neither spoke, but when their eyes met, Johnny grinned. The nurse inserted the needles into their arms. Johnny's smile faded. He watched the blood flow from his veins into his sister's. When the ordeal was almost over, Johnny, quivering and shaking in his voice, said, "Doctor, when do I die?" You see, Johnny didn't have to give up his life, but he gave life-giving blood. Jesus had to die to satisfy the wrath of God. Each of us are in the same condition that Mary was in. We needed Jesus to give us that life-giving blood, the transfusion of hope that we needed, the punishment on the cross, the death on a cross. What does that mean for you? It means you can be saved by the grace of God and avoid the eternal punishment of hell. You see, the death on the cross finds believers restored in a right relationship. Through all of those in the history that believe in Jesus Christ, have received him by faith, are justified, made right, to be declared righteous, to render one righteous, or to make one as he ought to be. We are brought back into fellowship with God. That reconciliation when Jesus died on the cross saw that temple veil, and it's so important. That veil is so important in the temple because there's a holy of holies there, and the priest could only enter once a year to give sacrifices and atonement for sin. And now it's been split from top to bottom, separated. We have direct access to the mercy seat of God. Do you know that? Do you live that? Do you submit to that? Do you understand the cost? Man is no longer separated from God by his sins if you choose not to be. You see, you have a choice. You can either submit to Jesus Christ, or you can walk in total disregard for him. That's your choice. We acknowledge that you have a choice. We're not browbeating you, but God is getting your attention. He's saying, "I have shed my son's blood for you, sinful mankind, so that you may come to know who Jesus is." Are you willing to submit wholeheartedly and not play around the edges? You see, this is serious business. You've got to recount the days of your salvation if you are a believer here today. Fellowship. Be encouraged, be strengthened for the days ahead. Don't turn and walk away from the person you ran to when you got saved. Is that where you're at? It's time to return. Are you saved today? Are you willing to be saved today? After all, he did it for you too. A great day in human history. On a personal level, it's the best day. Oh yes, Jesus will come again, and that will be the greatest day in human history. The greatest for us that believe. But on a personal level, the day that I said yes to Jesus, a week before Easter, became my personal greatest day. Because I said yes to Him. How long has it been since you've bowed before Him and said thank you? You see, He saves sinners like me and you. And whatever He is doing in your heart today, just respond to Him. Say thank you. Return if you're distant. Keep loving Him if you're close. And submit to Him if you're lost. Why did He do this? Because He loves you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of all humanity, went to the cross in obedience to You. Sacrifice and offering You did not desire, but a body You prepared for Me. In the blood of bulls and goats You found no pleasure. But here I am to do Your will, O God, the writer of Hebrews says. You see, Jesus knew His mission, Father, and we know that we need to understand His mission. Father, help us understand even deeper as we submit our lives to Your Son. We thank You for the grace that You've given to us. And I pray for if there's anyone here today who has not a relationship with Jesus and maybe realize that for the first time, they will say yes. Father, I pray today that we will recount the cost, but also be joyful in the knowledge that we have been saved from that stained sin that surrounds us. That we walk in faith and love before You, free from the guilt. And knowing when we do mess up, we can seek forgiveness from You. Help us, Father, through Your Holy Spirit, to live a life worthy of that sacrifice that we remember today. In Jesus' name we pray.